Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Our show is designated to the True Love Recipe, which is the topic for our learning lab. We hope that you are in a learning mode and have tuned into this program, with a focus on examining sound approaches to finding a mate, the do's and the don'ts, and looking for a prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. The learning lab shares, inshallah, beautiful and memorable wedding days and a fulfilling marriage with faith and with the affection and peace and joy. This is what we're looking for. So with that, I'd like to bring to you the host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed and Dr. Khalida Al-Bakbar. Assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Alaikum as-salam to you, Rashid. Salam and to Khalida Akbar and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Khalida Akbar, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And we want to just welcome all of you that have tuned in tonight, and especially those who may be listening in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We ask that you bring it to the lab. As a matter of fact, we have an email address, and it's call bringittothelab@gmail.com. You might want to ask questions on by way of email. You might want to make recommendations for futuristic topics or what. You can correspond with us that way, bringittothelab@gmail.com. We also want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And Khalida Akbar and myself, we do encourage you to ask questions or to make comments on what it is that we may have said. You might want to add something to it. And we also very, very cognizant that most people don't have much to say. They just like to tune in and listen in. But we like to hear from you every now and then. If something is said tonight and it resonates with you, we would love to hear from you, and you can press 1. So those of you who have dialed in to the studio already, you know you can always press 1, and my engineer will let me know that you got your hands up in the air, you got something that you want to ask or something that you want to say. We would love to hear from you. We also ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to this learning lab, because sometimes we might have been thinking a certain way for many, many years and everything, but we actually disseminate information, education, and we use three sources, and I'm going to introduce a fourth source that we'll be using on our sister learning lab, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It has the same foundation. And the first source, I didn't say resource, but the first source for disseminating information, education, is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation that Almighty God, Allah, has left for his human creation. It is his guidance and direction and correction for us in our life. That's very, very important. That's the first source of information that we use for dissemination of information and education. The second source is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. Very, very important. We use that as the second source. The third source that we use is the tafsir of Imam Waiz-ud-Din Muhammad, our scholarly teacher and leader. And tafsir simply means the clear explanation that he gives us in regards to Quran and also the life example of the prophet. And what I have just recently, in the most recent Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, is we have a new resource book that we're using, How to Hold On to Your Kids, Why Parents Should Matter More Than Peers. I'm introducing the fourth source that we use, which is social science. And this is the study of society, but also the study of the social interaction and growth and development of us as social beings. Very, very important. And as we continue to evolve these learning labs, you will see how important it is, because man, a human, has studied everything, and the human being is also part of God's creation. So it just stands to reason that there's a science and there's a system of knowledge that comes along with God's creation. So I want you to keep that in mind, and hopefully if you in this learning lab, not only bring an open mind and an open heart, but you need to have this basic tools, a sharp pencil or ink pen and a notebook pad where you can take notes, because we believe that some noteworthy things can and will be said tonight, and so you want to be able to jot those things down to either get further explanation and clarification in form of a question, or you may want to add something to what Khalil Akbar and myself have said, or you might just want to let us know that what has been said is resonating with you, and either way, we would love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1. Also, those who listen by way of the Internet, and we are very much aware that many of you listen to IWDM Radio, and you listen to productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and other productions here by way of the Internet. We would love for you to be engaged, but for you to be engaged, you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. So while we are just giving information in regards to this learning lab, this is a good opportunity for you to contact family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members. Let them know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is live and in session here on IWDM Radio, make sure you give them a number, ask them to tune in, because we're going to be doing a little bit more teaching tonight than we have in previous weeks, as we've had outstanding distinguished couples' marriage life giving their marriage narrative. We won't have a couple tonight, but we will be working on the true love recipe, and we're going to be looking at X4. So we're down to the very end, which is the XYZ of it. Sometimes we hear that XYZ, XYZ, and inshallah, before we sign off tonight, I'm going to give a little insight in terms of generation X, Y, and Z. Oh, yes, alhamdulillah. And we're going to do that also on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, inshallah. So if I forget, somebody remind me, if you would, please, in that regard. We also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab have been in existence going on 8.5 years. And inshallah, come October this year, we will be celebrating our 9th anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which began on our sister station, AM360, October the 13th, the year 2015. So it's been going and growing strong, and it's continuously evolving and evolving and evolving and everything. And we say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And we want you to know that this learning lab, the objective is to teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy and harmonious relationship. And those four things that I just named, these are the sources that we will be utilizing for the dissemination of information from the Quran, the life example of the Prophet, the Tafsir, clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad, and social science. Very, very important. We have utilized other resource books down through the years, but it has to be in line with the Quran and what God says first and foremost, most important, and what was actually exemplified in the life example of the Prophet in terms of being the ideal human, the ideal husband as a spouse, the ideal family man, the ideal neighbor, the ideal businessman, the ideal governor, the ideal commander-in-chief in war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, it has become a tradition here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to always have an overview of some of the things that was noteworthy and should be highlighted, so that for any reason that some are listening tonight weren't able to be present with us last week, that they will get some of those things that were noteworthy that could be a benefit to them. And for that, we have our very distinguished, esteemed co-hosts of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio, and that is Khalila Akbar. Assalamu alaikum to you, Khalila Akbar. How are you this Thursday evening?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and our listening audience on IWDM Radio. MashaAllah, I am doing well. My family's doing well, and I pray that you and your families are doing well as well.
Yes, ma'am, alhamdulillah. And I'm always amped up on Wednesday and Thursday because of the importance of both of these learning labs, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, because they actually they're interconnected, and this is the way Allah has said in the Quran, this is what He has established after creating the human being. Then He established the relationship of lineage and also marriage, and actually the sacred institution of marriage is to promote the sacred institution of family life, and Allah has said that He has influenced both. he has influenced both of those institutions, meaning that both of these institutions, sacred institutions, he is the ownership of them, and he guides and directs both family life and also marriage life. So this is where we get our information and education. So I'm always amped up and always elated and ready to disseminate that information that Almighty God, Allah, has given and has been exemplified by His Rasul, His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah. And since you said that, we'll go right with the first noteworthy comment that was made last week. I want our listening audience to, if possible, have a pen and pencil that you can jot down things that are dear to your heart and that resonate with your soul and your spirit. One of the noteworthy things that we saw congruent with this couple from last week, and by the way, their names were Haja Layla or Haja Lala Mubarak and Brother Mubarak, and they were such a delight, but they had a value system that was very, very effective in allowing them to see each other, really see each other, and be able to discern that they would like to marry each other. And one of the noteworthy things were your values and having a value system that's strong, and also having a value system that is being not just talked about but modeled in the Ummah, modeled in your personal life, and also modeled in your family life. We said also that the sacred institution of marriage is part of Allah's will and way. So we know that anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, He does it in the most excellent mode. And so we need to look at the deeper meaning of the institution of marriage, past any type of ideologies that we have here, not just in America but worldwide, and any type of personal baggage that we may bring to the table, and any type of prejudices. Believe it or not, we have biases and prejudices as well that can sometimes hinder us from being able to properly look at a potential mate for marriage and discern them through the eyes of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like us to see and learn from that person, because it is definitely an exchange. So that was one of the noteworthy things. And then also we talked about the sacred institution of marriage being a guide for ethics in society. And it provides a foundation for us to be the best, our best selves, to live a righteous life, to keep one another on the siratal mustaqim. And so marriage has a big impact on us reaching Jannah. It has a big impact on us accomplishing our goals in this life and in the hereafter, and it has a big impact on us building that model community for all people. And so we know that marriage is half of our deen. Without a mate, you are in balance. We know that. We have to go ahead and admit that. Though we strive to be as excellent as we can and professional, and we get our education, and we follow our deen, because that's what keeps us grounded, making our five prayers, fasting during the month of Ramadan, and, you know, giving zakat, making hajj, all those are very crucial to our growth and development as individuals, families, and communities. However, we cannot undermine the sacred institution of marriage, and that was one of the key takeaways, that it is a model for us to follow, and it is Allah's will and way. So I would like to say that they were married. First of all, it started out really a little different because, mashallah, they were either new in the deen or they were still learning the etiquettes of Islam and courtship and marriage. So they took their vows, I believe, in 1979, and they have 46 beautiful years of marriage. And how they were introduced, I believe, Haja Layla's brother, he mentioned her to him. He brought him up, and she observed him. One of the things that she liked about him is that he was clean, even in his behavior, but just physically. He was clean. He was mild-mannered, she said, and she liked that because she herself was also clean. And that really stood out to me because again, modeling those value systems that we have in our lives and attracting people of like minds and like nature is very important. She also said that he was very attentive. You know, she didn't really say it right out like that, but she did say her favorite color was red. And one of the first outfits that he brought her, the whole outfit in the color red. So that let her know as a woman that he's thinking about her, really thinking about her, not just for the moment or a minute, but he's really trying to get into the things that she likes and make sure that he is able to provide those things for her in subtle ways. And I think that that was a very good indicator, as she said, in that, hey, this is going to be my husband, because he kept exemplifying a conscious awareness of her likes and dislikes. Also, he was very adamant also about what he wanted in a woman. What also attracted him was the fact that she was clean. She didn't drink or smoke. He didn't want anybody who did that. He didn't do that either. And so cleanliness is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always say is next to godliness. And so even though they didn't start out being Muslim at the beginning of their courtship, they had Muslim values. And that goes back to the values that marriage brings to the table. We know that we are a product of our environment, and they obviously had a solid foundation. Their family life gave them the basic fundamentals to allow them to see in themselves what they valued, because it starts with yourself, and then look for those same like qualities in a mate. They also had a pretty long courtship. But as we said, they were still learning the deen, and Muslims typically do not date for extended periods of time, and we have a process that we go through, you know, with the wali and everything. But I did make the connection that her brother did play that role as a wali. He did make the connection, and she did communicate with her brother that the brother was texting her and wanted to take her out. They also had a personality that kind of meshed with one another. They won out, and they won. They won, I believe it was a colored TV. They won. They did some dance together. So they had that rhythm. They had that chemistry that was already there. And they knew that they wanted to be with each other. They were just straight to the point. They after spending time with each other and getting to know each other better, outside of that initial attraction of being physically attracted to each other. Now, they both were very much physically attracted to one another, and we know that is the first attraction, but it has to go a lot deeper than the physical attraction, because when you get into a marriage and you're working through building your life together, all those things that come to surface, you need something a little more deeper than the physical look. Of course, we need to be, again, have a strong value system, have that relationship with Allah, you know, be a believer no matter what faith tradition you are, and live a clean, upright life, because as you're sharing your life, whatever that other person does will affect your life as well. For example, that's why he said he didn't want a smoker. If you're living with a smoker, what do you get, right? You get affected by secondhand smoke. And that's just a small example, but everything we do when we tie that knot in a marriage, we are impacting each other's life. You are giving your life to Allah first, because if something happens, you know you can get up and keep going with that faith in Allah, and Allah will help you, because he says that he will do that. He will provide for both parties. But in that instant that In the instance that you guys are both growing together, you want to make sure that you have somebody who is of like mind and like nature. And it doesn't mean you think alike. It doesn't mean you do everything alike. But the basic goodness, the basic moral system, the basic value system in family life needs to be there, or it needs to be cultivated, and it needs to be put on hold until you can get to a point where both of you have a clear understanding of what your value systems are and where you want to grow as a couple and as a family, because you are charting a course for your life. I also like the fact that she said that she was a mother of four, and that she made Hajj. I thought that was very good because even though she was sharing her marriage narrative, she also had some very strong indicators that she was a woman of faith, and I like that. And he did as well. He was a man of faith, and actually I saw the progression, even in the way they introduced their narrative and where they are now in his commentary, in the fact that he's a strong believer, he's well-versed in the deen, he understands his responsibility as a husband, as a believer, and as a maintainer and provider. He was very clear, and he exemplified that before he even came into the realm of al-Islam. So he had that solid foundation, and we know that Allah says that he makes every child of Adam in a most excellent mold. And so it doesn't take religion to bring you to your best self. When Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was selected, he was already a good person before Allah, before he became or was aware that he was the messenger. So Allah says he is good, and he only accepts that which is good. And then also, Brother Mubarak, he was very, he had a lot of chivalry going on, and I love that. I love that. Yes, we can be strong and I don't want to say independent, but assertive when we need to be as women and men, but it's nothing like coming home and your spouse has your back. And that's what I saw with them. You know you had a long day and your spouse is already there, has dinner on the table. I saw some interchanging of roles when necessary, and also support systems that were in place that they knew what each other wanted, and they didn't worry about what other people had to say. They did it the best way they knew how, with pure intentions, and Allah blessed them. And so I want to ask Allah to continue to bless them with many, many more years. Thank them for sharing their marriage narrative. And we are going to go a little bit into what to expect tonight. We're going to be on the X series, okay? The X series, and it starts with Xenia, Blissit, Extraordinary, and Extra. Okay, and so we're interested in hearing exactly what that means and if they are willing to have a half a cup, a full cup, etc. tonight. So, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say Alhamdulillah for those who don't know that may be listening, hearing that language. I always will say it because I know that sometimes there are non-Muslims, and I'm always inviting non-Muslims as well as Muslims to tune in and listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, because we think that always some noteworthy things can and will be said. Just I want to say Alhamdulillah. A very, very good overview that we got from Sister Khalila Akbar tonight. What I just want to just say, one of the things is the uniqueness of the couple last week is that they actually met in 1975, and neither one were Muslim at that time, you know. So their first date, they went out, and he wanted to make an impression, of course, and I thought it was unique, just like you say, buying her an outfit, you know, for the occasion, of course, and everything. And they probably found out both of them were dancers or steppers. They could cut the rug to the point they actually won a dance contest and won a color TV. How about that? And they actually took their shahada in the same year, and it's very noteworthy. You know, oftentimes that happens. One would take their shahada, and then the other would take their shahada, and so he was the first to do so, and she kind of followed his lead in terms of coming. He also was a haji, you know, and just wanted to just say oftentimes there are some that make hajj. Both brothers and sisters make hajj, and some choose to attach that to their name, and some choose not to. And Sister Lala choose to attach that to her name. And so, inshallah, this year, we say inshallah, that simply means God willing, that on June the 2nd, this year, 2024, they will be celebrating their 45th anniversary, their 45th wedding anniversary, 46 years in the community, 45 years, almost 45 years of the sacred institution of marriage. And so we do salute them here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we've had so many from almost like the shortest marriage is just still a young marriage, March the 26th with Sister Rahima Zarifa Abdullah and her husband Abdul Rahim will be celebrating their, inshallah, we say God willing, their third anniversary. And the longest that we've had is our beloved brother Yusuf and his wife, Sister Zubeda, who had been married for 63 years, and she waited 54 years while he was unjustifiably incarcerated. And so most, when they heard that marriage narrative, they said that should be made for a movie. That should be made for a movie. 63 years of marriage, 54 years they was away from each other, but she never gave up on the sacred institution of marriage and her husband, being hopeful and prayerful that one day he would be free and they would have the opportunity to be together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. I just wanted to just cite that just to give you a somewhat of an idea of the outstanding couples that we actually have had in this journey through the true love recipe. And many have given a lot of insight and wisdom. Before we get into tonight, I want to just say something in terms of the ingredients, the qualities that we actually gave last week. And pretty much our brother Muhammad Mubarak, he gave some great insight. Our beloved Sister Haja Lala, she stepped away. But what we did cover last week was wisdom. Also, we covered warm-heartedness and then wittiness. And always the last word, I kind of, we have a little fun with it in terms of would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, a full cup. Wisdom, very, very, very important. I gave an acronym that could be useful or beneficial to you. When I see discernment operating magnificently, wisdom is so very, very important. It's in my true love recipe, and of course, both, she was present when we went over that and asked them, both Muhammad and our beloved Sister Haja Lala Mubarak, they both said that wisdom would be a part of that, because you do. And we also stated very, very important, very noteworthy, some tafsir that Imam Muhammad had given in regards to wisdom. Now, this is very important, so you want to take note of this and you keep it, because the insight and the wisdom that Imam Muhammad gave is very, very important, because it gives us even more wisdom, and the not only the language but the logic in this. He said that wisdom is not is knowledge applied with mercy. So we hear that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the three, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, like you have food, clothing, and shelter, and all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. There are a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom, and they don't have understanding. And so understanding was one of the, when we was at U, was one of the key ingredients, and understanding. Imam Muhammad said that the understanding is the home of the mind. In other words, you always want to get home to understanding. As you listen in tonight to Khalil Akbar and myself, you want to get home to understanding any conversation or communication that you have, you want to arrive at understanding. That becomes the home of the mind, you see. And it is also in Scripture that Allah has said, I think it's in Proverbs, with all thy gettings, get understanding. Wisdom is the application of knowledge with mercy. This is a quote of Imam Muhammad, meaning that you want to be able to apply the knowledge, not have knowledge but not apply it, and you want to do it with mercy or with compassion, which is very, very important. You don't ever want to do it harshly or be unmerciful with wisdom. So this here, you know, it's like the gentle touch in terms of putting people in touch by the application of the knowledge in terms of showing it. This brings about the realization and manifestation in terms of what it is that we want to have in the sacred institution of marriage. I could go on and on, probably go for another half an hour or so at least, but inshallah, I'm looking at putting this all in a book so that we'll have this type of information that's accessible to us in terms of wisdom. We never would probably think that wisdom could or would have a place in the true love recipe in terms of true love, you see, because oftentimes wisdom can be what saves a relationship. Mm-hmm. The application of knowledge with mercy. It most certainly can sustain and maintain the sacred institution of marriage. So it's in my true love recipe, so I ask you, if it would be in yours, you need to think about that. And we talked about warm-heartedness. This is very important. These qualities and characteristics, I've often said, I didn't say it tonight, but in sitting down and thinking about this, when the idea, a concept came to me that, you know, Allah blessed me to have that that spirit to come over me, you should think about what is true love, because this is a word that's used more than probably any other word. And if you think about even the lyrics in music, how many songs have been made in regards to love? You know, love, love, love. I remember, I think it was Martha and the Vandellas many, many years ago. They produced a song called Love, 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 Make Me Do Foolish Things. Make me sit all alone by a phone that never rings. Foolish things, you see. So there haven't been any other term or word that music has been made more of than the word love. And many love songs. They love and romance movies, you see. So in the culture, and especially in Western culture, that word is used, and it's so oftentimes used so loosely. So this was something that really initiated in me. Why not do something that would have it would have an Islamic base, qualities and characteristics that are organic, natural, no artificial colors nor flavors, not having what they oftentimes reality shows in terms of, you know, love and marriage, and they've had those type of things that give you a false concept and a false precept of what love and marriage is. Mm-hmm. So that's what the inspiration was. And so warm-heartedness, yes. So, you know, as the Prophet Muhammad has said, that all actions and matters are judged by your niyyah, by your pure intention, by your motivation, by your desire. And this is emblematic and symbolic of the heart. So Allah talks about the different types of heart, you see, and it's talked about in terms of using things in the natural creation. There are some that is hard-hearted, where their hearts actually are sealed. They are sealed. In other words, there is no sensitivity that comes from these people. It can't be penetrated. But then there are those, you understand, that are described that water can come from it, meaning that that sensitivity can come from some hearts that have been cold. So I looked at that and said, well, if they're a cold-hearted people, so what would we want to have in true love? You want to have a warm heart. You want to have a warm heart. There's so much I can say about that. Time just not going to permit. But inshallah, it will be in the book in that regard. So warm-heartedness was in my true love recipe. So that question is asked, you know, you don't have to answer that. Would it be in yours? Would you want to be seen and known as a warm-hearted person? And would you want your mate to be a warm-hearted person? Now you can begin to start thinking in that regard. These are gems. These are gems that you're getting and receiving. You see? Yeah. And, pardon me? Pardon me?
I did have a comment in reference to that when you're finished, inshallah.
Oh, okay. And then the last one, I'm just about finished, is witty in terms of, you know, using wit in our communication. Very, very important, because sometimes things, you know, sometimes we can be so serious and not using a little wit, and sometimes wit can involve a little humor to lighten things, and this is very, very important. Oftentimes how we can utilize that, and it can be a key ingredient in helping to sustain and maintain the true love that we want to have and sustain the sacred institution of marriage. I'm going to just stop there, and I know that last week I believe that Muhammad Mubarak, he said that he would, I think, a half a cup of wittiness for him. So, alhamdulillah, there's no right or wrong answer. That's, you know, comes to the individual in regards to that. But these qualities and characteristics have been thought out and thought about in that. So that how I would look at it, and how I asked the question, would it be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if it wouldn't be, the absence of that, could it truly be true love? You know, so we want to look at possibly any and everything that could be in that recipe, that maybe you might put some things in there that I hadn't thought about, and that would even make it even a better recipe in that regard. So I'm going to stop there, and Khalil Akbar wants to make some comments, and then we're going to get right into X4 tonight. She's already giving that, and I know some of you probably are saying, what could you come up with in terms of X? And I'll give a little prelude to that before we get into that. Khalil Akbar?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, you made some excellent comments. I wanted to just highlight the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he instructs us to bring to him a sound heart. And the reason he instructs us to do that is because so many of life circumstances can actually make people, if they're not careful, if they are not protecting themselves, into hard-heartedness. Because if you consistently allow yourself to be in circumstances or situations that are counterproductive, that are unhealthy, then your body naturally and your mind is naturally going to put up roadblocks, so it doesn't continue to get hurt in certain situations. And so one of the things that we do in vows is we advise people to seek counsel before they go to another marriage, because you definitely are – everybody who comes into your life has left an impression on you. Own it, whether you want to believe it or not, they have. And whether it was good or bad, inshallah, you had more good than bad. But you are definitely an impressionable human being. A lot of times we were created from clay, and that is symbolic of the impressions that can be made if we are not careful. And so that's why Allah, in his infinite wisdom, tells us to bring to him a sound heart. When we go to Allah, we want to go in peace. We don't want to go with a whole lot of baggage, allowing ourselves to be in unhealthy situations. We're going to have to answer for that, because he gave us an intellect in which to think with, and he also gave us a set of guidelines on which to judge and be judged with. And so to keep from being the rock this hard, that you're just going to shut things down and not allow anybody in. I do get that, but we have to keep it in perspective and balance, and we have to know that nobody wants a broken heart, no one, right? Nobody wants to be in a situation that is counterproductive. If you just keep going in and out of situations, you know, open-hearted and welcoming everybody in, that's also crazy. So you have to use the common sense that Allah gives you, the lessons that you've learned previously, and move differently than you've done before if you've had that problem. And the only way you're going to be able to give true love, I mean to get true love, is to be able to give it. You're going to have to open your heart again eventually. And so we recommend counseling, Islamically and family counseling, individually with the couple, you and your spouse, and also families, because what happens is it impacts your family, everything that you do. That's why marriage is such a huge, huge responsibility, because you're really putting your life, so to speak, in somebody else's hands, your children's lives as well, and your community. It's a huge, it's not anything to, you know, think like it's just happy-go-lucky, a minor thing, because that one decision impacts your entire life for the rest of your life, especially if you have children. So I just wanted to point out that Allah says bring to him a sound heart and extract out of it what you may, dicker during the Holy Quran, read and pray and ask Allah to increase you in knowledge. I understand it also to mean to make decisions in which you're not going to bring to him a tattered mindset, a heart that's been used, abused, et cetera. When he gave you the intellect to move, because he's going to ask us, was not my earth spacious? And when we can do that, then we can have the life that Allah will have for us. And we're not putting anything or anybody before Allah and his messenger, because Allah wouldn't have us be in those situations. He cannot use people who are not healthy to teach this religion. He cannot use us. He can use us, but not like he would love to use us if we were on top of what we're supposed to do and we were bringing a healthy mind, body, and spirit into what we're doing. And so I'll stop.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Oh, that's good information. Yeah, if you want to be healthy, actually that's a good word in terms of even having a healthy heart. It is the heart, as Imam Muhammad said, that actually triggers or ignites the mind in terms of thinking to go to work for that. This is why the Prophet said that all in a Sahih Hadith, that all actions and matters are judged by your niyyah, your intention. You see, so what is that saying? Your judgment, it will be contingent upon the type of heart that you have. You see, sometimes you can have a good heart and not get good results. But this is why that oftentimes we see, we try to maybe judge, but we won't be qualified to judge, because Allah says that He is Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the sole master of the day of judgment. Now we can have discernment. That's the wisdom, the discernment, you know, and we should have a discerning spirit about us in that regard. What the mind goes to work for is what's in the heart. And this is why that in Scripture, and of course we know that the Quran becomes a confirmation of the truth that came before. And I believe it's in Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken. I don't claim to be a Bible scholar, but I am. I am taking a course of comparative religion as we speak, and I'm studying the Bible through the lens of the Quran. So Allah says in biblical scripture, so as a man thinketh in his heart. So when we say man, so we want to say human. You know, I don't like when it just says man, because then the woman, or if we listen, where is the woman? No, is so as a human thinketh in his heart, in their heart, so are they. So what does that mean? That means that the thinking in the mind or the intellect is ignited through the heart. So what is the intention? Is it pure intention? Is it motivation? Is it the desire that we have? You understand? And whatever is most prevalent and desired in the heart. And so what is supposed to be there first and foremost? Whereas that the mind can always be fed, so that the action that comes forth in terms of our actions and behavior, that's where it goes. It goes from the heart to the head to the hand. So if you can remember those three things, heart, head, hand. Heart being the intention, the motivation. It should be pure. What should be the dominant thing in the heart? The dominant thing in the heart, and Khalil Akbar just stated that in terms of what it is that we're supposed to be put first, it should be the obedience to God's word, will, and way, and to please what is pleasing to God. So if that is the dominant thing that's in the heart, and that's the thinking that's in the heart, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so, or as a human thinking in his heart, so are they. That means that is what personifies and actually gives description to that human being. Because then the mind or the intellect, it goes to work. It goes to work to bring about a manifestation and a realization. So then that goes from the heart, that's the first H, to the head, which is emblematic of the mind and the intellect. It goes to try to bring into a manifestation or a realization what is in the heart, and then the hand, the actions that we take to bring that about. I'm hoping that this is making good sense. This is something that Imam Muhammad have actually taught us, and I'm sharing this with you in that regard so that you'll see this is why we go back to the Quran again, where Allah says that all human beings behave according to their own disposition. So you have to ask ourselves, what is the disposition that we always or should sustain and maintain? And that disposition should be one of a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And a Muslim is one who surrenders or conforms they will to what God's will is for them. That's simply put, but that's very profound. So we always have to ask ourselves, are we maintaining and sustaining a Muslim disposition, an Islamic platform? Is what is in our heart is the desire to do what is pleasing to Allah. So that means that we have to be accepting what God's guidance is for us, and that what has been exemplified in the model human being. See, it's like, I heard Christians say it, but we could ask the same question. Is this what God would have us think? Is this what Prophet Muhammad actually lived in his life? What would the Prophet do? This is why it requires us to really study, to study the religion, so that we can always maintain an Islamic and a Muslim disposition, which will be reflected in our behavior, what we say, what we do. It becomes a daunting challenge, but you will see and get the results. Eventually, you're going to get the results. because Allah has said in Surah 53, 39 of the Quran, the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. Oh, we have gone. Oh, we're right there. So what we got to do, we're going to have to take a pause for the cause, but when we get back, alhamdulillah, and I'm hoping that some of these things that I'm saying will, they are noteworthy, and it should be said, you know, these three H's starts in the heart, that's the first H, goes to the head, and you want to put in parentheses the intellect and the mind, it goes to work for whatever is in the heart, whatever is in the heart. And the heart is represented by heart. You want to put pure intentions and motivation and desire. And Imam Muhammad said, we would never be able to accomplish a darn thing if we don't have desire. That's emblematic of the heart. What is the desire in the heart? And Allah says in the Quran that shaitan, he creates a false desire. So that should say to us that as students, there must be a true desire. So what's supposed to stay in the heart is the desire to please Allah, who is our creator. If that's always present in the heart, and that's always being sent to the head, to the brain, to the intellect, then the intellect, the mind, would go to work to make that a realization, a manifestation. And then that goes to the hand. Then your actions begin to do that, to bring that about. This is wisdom. So if we can see that and say, wow, this is where I can check myself. Did my heart change? That's how you bring a sound heart. You see, it's sound, it's solid, if we keep that in the heart, in our intentions, in our motivation, in our desire. I'm just telling you as a student of the Imam, but this is very, very important, so to make it real for us. So I want to say to our regular listening audience, we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we got to take a break here. And when we come back, inshallah, Khalil Akbar and myself, we're going to get to X4 tonight, and I think you're going to find these four qualities, characteristics, you're going to find them to be very interesting, and I'm going to just say how I came about them and give you a little insight in terms of that. So hopefully these qualities can be in your true love recipe. So you know I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the cause.
that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, who highly praised and glorified is he. He's the creator of you.
To IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio with Khalil Akbar and Mark Shaheed as the host of this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want to thank Rashid Salam for engineering the first hour and playing. It was just really appropriate song by our Queen of Soul. And our Queen of Soul, really, her words touch our soul as she's talking about Shahada, that is the Shahada chain, the first pillar of the religion of Al-Islam. So, alhamdulillah, that's what we just kind of ended up on in terms of the desire in the heart to bear witness, not only in terms of the verbalization, but also the real tough task that we are all confronted with as human beings is to make our life bear witness that there's no God that deserves to be served, worshiped, or worked for or served but the one God, Allah. And he don't have partners nor associates, and that means that we don't even partner our own thinking and our own opinions and our own feelings, you know, with that. We accept God's word. And if we don't understand it, we pray to Allah to bless us with the light of understanding. And we also want to make our life bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and messenger. And we bear witness that he was the one that lived the life. That's why he was referred to as the Quran walking, as the living Quran. So not only do we have the blueprint, but we have the specs or the specification in this life, and we thank Allah for that. And we just want to do a mic check here to see if our beloved sister, the priest of Abdul Hadi, is with us. Assalamu alaikum to you, the priest of Abdul Hadi.
Well, I make my salam to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and to you, Khalida Akbar, and to the IWDM radio listener. As-salamu alaykum. Yes, I am in place. Thank you so kindly.
Alhamdulillah. So praise be to Allah that you're there. And so now those of you who just tuned in, I want to just say, reiterate again, we don't have an honored couple tonight. So just as well, because the goal is not only this week, but next week we may have one last couple in all. That will be gracing us. We haven't gotten a confirmation yet, but I know it'll be an outstanding couple to end this as we down to, as they say, the nitty-gritty. We often say we start with the ABC of it, and you want to end with the X, Y, Z of it. And so I know these mystical letters of Khalil Akbar and what it is that Allah has blessed me to have in my chula recipe, Zina, and also we have explicit speech that should be on there. Maybe it's not, but explicit speech, extraordinary, and extra. Okay, so let me just give a little prelude here, because you might say, well, that don't start with X. It don't start with X. Now, what is really unique about the languages, and, you know, once you become a wordologist, you study a lot of things, and you do research and all of this here, and all this. Two languages, and one became an obsolete language pretty much, and I guess you could say the other one to a degree. And that was Greek, Greek and Latin. And we often encourage, you know, if you really want to understand words and their origin, that you should get an etymology dictionary. Etymology is just a dressed up, it's a Hasidic word for word origin, word origin. So one of the commonality of the Greek and Latin language is that it does not follow the phonics or the grammatical rules of English. In other words, in most cases, that when you hear words, if you ever watch spelling bees, I used to love to watch spelling bees. Those persons was just that was, you know, in competition, they often would ask, what is the origin? Have you ever thought about why they ask what is the origin? Because the Greek and Latin origins are contradictory to spelling and the phonics in how it is actually said. So the word Zina actually starts with an X. So you might want to write this down, those of you in the learning lab. You'll learn a new word here that has a Greek origin, and it's spelled X-E-N-I-A. Sometimes it's spelled X-E-N-A. But Zina actually has a Greek origin, but you don't hear. And, of course, Imam Muhammad is giving some insight in terms of that. There's some type of secrecy, like with the word sword. You know, you hear a silent letter, or like with Greek and Latin, you will see a different spelling of the word, but the sound would be different. So you actually hear Z in the word Zina, Zina. Not like in terms of Zina as we have in the Arabic language, which is illicit sex. In that regard, in terms of having adultery or fornication, being in that regard, but it sounds like Z, but it's spelled with an X. So remember that. So I chose to use that word because that root meaning means that that's a quality, a characteristic of a person that's hospitable, that once again, that's warm, displays warm-hearted, warm, also cordial, you know, pleasant. All of those type of qualities and characteristics actually describe Zina, which has a Greek origin. And so that was how that became part of my true love recipe. Now, explicit speech, and we know that explicit starts with an E, but you don't hear the E. This word, along with extraordinary and extra, it has a Latin origin. So Latin language a little bit came, Greek language, a little older Latin coming after that, actually use pretty much the same format, if you will, in terms of spelling, how it got into the English language in terms of spelling, but the phonics. And I've been informed most recently by my children and all that now not only do they not teach courtesy writing, but they have in some schools and some school systems, and maybe perhaps if you got children or grandchildren, those of you listening, when I was going to school, and I think Khalil Akbar, when you was going to school, and of course Khalil Akbar is a very distinguished educator, a teacher, that I've been informed here in the city of St. Louis, and I don't know whether it's nationwide or not, but they don't teach phonics. And I think phonics is very, very important when you're teaching children the alphabet, because it becomes the recitation first, then the identity of the alphabet, those, and then the vowels in terms of making words. And so the vowels are a little bit different in terms of the Arabia, you know, but you can't make words without vowels in terms of the Arabia, very important. And the same thing in terms of words in terms of the English language. So it kind of contradicts, because you're hearing the phonics in terms of sound, and if you were trying to spell that word, it would throw you off because it has Greek and Latin. The same way when you use the word phone, you're hearing the F sound, but it's spelled PH. It also has a Latin origin. So that's why, you know, if you ever get a dictionary, you just become interested in that, but it actually will give you things. So I decided to use explicit speech. In other words, we know one of the synonyms for explicit is clear. You know, being very clear, not misunderstood speech in my True Love recipe. And extraordinary, you know, it's two words. It's an extraordinary person becomes extraordinary. You just don't do just what is ordinary. You're an extraordinary person because of the word that precedes it, and it becomes one word. But you're not hearing an E, you're hearing an X. And finally, extra. And I think that that is a key ingredient, because in a True Love recipe, you will want to do something that would be extra. Now, I just went on and just gave that, but we're going to engage our co-hosts here. And really, our radio listening audience, we want you to be a participant. So don't be thinking that, oh, I might say something wrong, or I might be in line with this or what, and we're going to do a little mini survey as we get some insight and some wisdom from Khalil Akbar in regards to this. And I'm going to ask, would this be in your True Love recipe? Because now remember, we're doing it from A to Z. We did the ABC of it. Now we're down to the XYZ of it. And I know that's probably those of you who've been with us all the time. What is he going to say? This is my True Love recipe. You can introduce, as long as it's with the letter that we're doing, it's fine. Because I want to hear from you, and Khalil Akbar, I want to hear from you. But we're going to go to you first, Khalil Akbar, in terms of Zena. And now understanding, that's why I had to give a little prelude to this. It actually begins with X, but we don't hear X in. You know, I just gave a prelude in terms of informing our radio listening audience in terms of the Greek and Latin language, how they do it, and it can be very misleading. So, if you was in a spelling bee contest, you might would want to ask those and they so young people. I'm just amazed at the words. So some of those words you're listening, I never heard that word before. Nobody never used the word before, but all words have some meaning, and all words have an origin. So Khalil Akbar, Zena is in my true love recipe, and now that I hopefully have been pretty explicit and clear in regards to that as to its root meaning, and actually it actually was more confined to host, the disposition of host, and what host actually did and everything, but not just only just confined to that in terms of quality and characteristic that human beings should also exemplify in terms of goodness and all. So would that be in your true love recipe? And if so, Khalil Akbar, then why? And if not, could it really truly be, true love recipe in terms of how it is that this word is defined? Talk to us, if you would.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And also, it also means those who are hospitable and treat guests and people who visit them with generosity.
So, mashallah,
yes, I love to welcome and host things. As one of the things that Allah has inspired me to do recently over the last maybe, well, I've been doing it a while because I've been volunteering at the Masjid a lot, and a lot of my skill set came from donating those hours, working professionally for the masjid and hosting a lot of things, working under my father, Imam Khalil Akbar. So alhamdulillah, as an event planner, we know that hospitality is very important, and we have received some very great feedback on not just in person and just word of mouth, because our community has really grown. People from Imam Ronald Shaheed, et cetera, have moved from their prospective areas with the intention of reestablishing a peaceful life and continuing to move toward their Khalifa mission. And we've seen it over and over again that when we are hospitable, warm, welcoming, genuinely warm and welcoming, and allowing people to flourish in their own Khalifa mission. I use that a lot because I believe that, you know, we believe that we were created to be Khalifa or vicegerent on earth, and we start our strong in school students out in preschool teaching them that Khalifa. We were created to be Khalifa. So we always encourage them to find that Khalifa vision, mission, and implement it. And one of the things that Allah inspired me to do is to be an event planner, in addition to doing Vows and Bless, which are organizations that promote the institution of marriage. But Bless also focuses on building life and elevating sustainable society. So whatever avenue that you can bring up a society, whatever they are lacking in, we bring that content to them through the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or wa sallam. We spoke about that last week. And also, just with good, sound principles and morals that we know that are sustainable, because we reap what we sow. And in addition to that, we treat people like we want to be treated. And so, yes, it would be in my true love recipe just because of those things, the hospitality, the treating and welcoming of people from far away, and also to be able to implement that in anything that you do or you in your professional and personal life, yes.
Alhamdulillah, very well said. And I think the hospitality, and this was the origin and root meaning of actually the word in terms of welcoming, but also in terms of strangers. Oftentimes, and I have advocated that here at Al Mu'min Noon Islamic Center here, that I think is very important, when you have people that you may not ever have seen before that actually come to your masjid or your Islamic center, that it would be good to have host and hostess. You have, I just propose you have two. Maybe they can alternate. One is not there. You can have a brother as a host and a sister as a hostess. And so their role and responsibility, a job in terms of Zena, in terms of being hospitable, if you will, seeing somebody that you've never seen before. You know that they're not a member there. They could be a Muslim, a traveling Muslim. And oftentimes I know that they experience that. And then they would actually greet that person, and they would feel the warmth of that community through you, the friendliness, the kindness, the generosity that is shown, the hospitality, of course. And they also would make it known to the resident imam, if in fact he is the khatib or whoever the khatib is, so that they can be acknowledged. But these are good qualities and characteristics just to have in life in terms of even a one-on-one, because now it's a true love. You know, it also helps in terms of even your relationship, because when you look at the qualities and characteristics, should we all always be and should be hospitable? Should we all, be warm? And even though you may not know the person, and I know some people thinking, well, you can't really do that with everybody, blah, blah, blah. But if persons that is still, it should be the balance that's there, that the majority of the people are good people. Unfortunately, the good don't get the notoriety, nor is it publicized. There's good that's happening all the time. That's why Imam Muhammad said goodness is on the rise. But if we are always saturated with the news that we get locally, nationally, and internationally, instead of giving people due respect, everybody becomes a suspect. We have to guard against that. And it's a daunting task, I know, because our surroundings and everything, they actually are signs to us. But the majority of the people that you meet, you have to be balanced and acknowledge they're not bad people. They're good people. And we have good people that come in our presence in terms of even our places of worship. So we should have. We should have greeters that actually display Zena. So, alhamdulillah, I want to ask our radio listening audience in a little mini survey. Just a mini survey. If you don't want to have anything to say, you don't have to. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, would Zena be a part of your true love recipe in terms of being friendly, warm, generous, and hospitable? Would that be a part of your true love recipe? And if so, I'm just going to ask you if you just would press 1 and hold it for 10 seconds, press 1 and hold it to 10 seconds, and I'm at 5, and I'm at 10. So I'm going to ask you, the priest Abdul Hadi, did we get any participation? Did anybody press 1 if they say it would be a part of their true love recipe to anybody?
Yes, sir, we did get some participation.
Hey, okay, we got some participation. Now I need you to listen up, radio listeners, because you're part of Khalil Akbar and my guest this night on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Now, if you don't want to say anything in terms of why it would be, then you can press 1 and go out of the queue. But if you stay in the queue, just like to hear whatever you like to say, just something in general, or what you just learned, it resonated with you in regards to it being a part of your true love recipe. So you don't have to press 1. Just stay in and we'll have the priest Abdul Hadi to open your mic, and you can give us the greetings and say whatever you want to say about that quality or characteristic. So, the priest Abdul Hadi, did we get any takers?
Yes, sir. We do still have a hand raised here in reference.
Okay, well, let's open that mic and see what they have to say then.
Yes, sir. 401-323, welcome and state your name and where you're calling from.
I know who that
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island.
Angela, welcome to Courtship in Paris.
First of all, this is a different topic right now. I want to ask you, how is Imam Kareem Hamid doing? He was sick. How is he feeling?
Oh, he's doing quite well. I mean, his voice is strong and everything. So he's doing the Kareem Imam Kareem Hamid, the brother that you know. He's back on his post, Sister Angela. I just say because I know you from the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
He's back on his post. He's walking his post in a perfect manner. Keep always on the alert.
Alhamdulillah. Also, the thing about a hosting, greeting people when they come in the masjid, that is a very, very important thing because, you know, a lot of masjid that are mixed with foreign Muslims, you know, Muslims of other countries, they don't really do that. And you feel like it's like a cold atmosphere. Run in, Juma. Everybody's running out the door after you. No one's greeting no one. But sometimes I sit near the door and try to greet the sisters, you know, and sometimes even during Ramadan, there's some sisters that are even non-Muslims that come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to talk to them because nobody says anything to them, you know. And
yes, ma'am.
I noticed that in Nation of Islam Masjid, like 127th Street and I can't remember the street is. It's not too far from Malcolm Shabazz Masjid. Oh,
mm-hmm.
126th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue in Harlem. Now, I have gone there. I think it was one Wednesday night, that night I went there. And they still are warm and friendly. And you
mm-hmm.
feel at home and they greet you and they talk to you about certain things, and
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be that way. And
mm-hmm.
even the Masjid Muhammad number 93 in Macon, Georgia, they are
mm-hmm.
so friendly. You're supposed
yes.
to feel warm and at home like that. But
that's right.
Since the changeover of Sunni Islam, these Masjid, oh, my God, it's so cold. Even Malcolm Shabazz Masjid on 116th Street in Lenox Avenue. The sisters are like gorillas. Astaghfirullah, wallahi, I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, you know, like I said, oh, good Lord. You go there for the inch, you know, the
yes,
inch, and they're gritting their teeth. It's so cold, I don't know what happened to us.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what happened to
you. Yes, ma'am.
But it's not
I want to thank you because, you know, this is really important. What you said, and I'm glad that you shared the good with us. And we're hoping that, you know, our listenership, which is broad, you know, nationwide, and we even have countries that listen outwardly. So what we try to do, and you already know it, you know, Sister Andrew, you've been listening for years. We try to teach on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab what it should be. We know what it is, but we want to bring what it should be closer to what it is not happening. So we want to highlight these good things. We're not overlooking, you
mm-hmm.
know, those persons or whatever, but on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we want to have those qualities and characteristics so we're looking. And then persons like yourself, you're a leader. You're a leader whether you recognize it or not. You're a leader. I was listening very attentively. You say what you do, you sit close to the door. So when sisters come in, You see faces that you may not have seen before, especially in a diversified community. You embrace the sister, welcome her, and everything. Let her know that she's welcome in terms of hug the sister and make them welcome, feeling at home and all. This is a quality and characteristic that all of us should have. Everybody may not have grown to that point, but this is where we have to get to if we really want to have true love, because this is one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad have said to get you into the Jannah. He said that you won't be able to get to the Jannah until you have faith, and that the other prerequisites that you love ye one another. You got to love ye one another. This is what the Prophet has said to us. So we have to really be practitioners of that, because we know how we feel if we go somewhere and there's a cold atmosphere, you know, that's there. So you're a Muslim, and you can always tell a Muslima in terms of even just her dress and even her mannerism and all of that. The sisters can be able to see that. So we should have persons like yourself that actually are doing it, you know, it's just taking it upon themselves. And we should have brothers that should be greeting brothers in that
yes,
way.
Yes, that's very yeah. important. Because, you know, a lot of brothers who might go away from the master, go away from Al-Islam for whatever
yes,
reason, and they need someone to continue to support them and encourage them. These brothers need to go around and call these brothers that they haven't seen in a while. They need encouragement. They need upliftment. And I even do that myself. If I see a brother hasn't been out or he's in a nursing home or whatever, I get the brothers to go see him in a nursing home or go check on. It's important because I feel sorry for a lot of brothers that they don't keep in contact. You know, they don't have like a peer support. You need peer support.
That's right.
That's your lifeline. You know,
yes, ma'am.
Your lifeline. And like the native beings that please hold the line. Now, we are lifelines for each other.
That's right.
And we have to hold on to each other. And so when you see a brother or a sister need someone, a believer to talk to, you got to get them a believer to talk to or you talk them to, because that
yes,
might lift
yeah.
them up. That might bring them back to Al-Islam.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, sister.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much. I mean, you really say a lot of very, very important things. You had some very sharp points, and thank Allah for persons like you and Khalilah Akbar, you know, that do that. I mean, they don't have to be told to do that. And that has to be a part of makeup. You see? See, true love. We talk about the true love recipe. So we learn something new today in terms of a word and word origin, but it's easy for those that's already a part of, that's part of their makeup. So thank you so much, Sister Angela. Press 1 as you go out. You can always come back in. We're going to keep it moving because we want to try to get all of these in by the top of the hour so we won't be too long. Maybe it might be a few minutes over, but we want to keep it right at the time that we've set for it to be done. So, Khalilah Akbar, I mean, if you want to make any comments on Sister Angela, she is right on point, and that's a part of her personality. I've heard her over the years. She actually identified that she's a practitioner of Zina, you know, in all. So now we're going to look at the next one, which is explicit speech. I've already given my reason why I have that, and we have spent a lot of time before, usually anywhere from a month to 6 weeks, whenever I do communication, very important, explicit speech, clear speech, in the true love recipe can be vitally important from my perspective in the sacred institution of marriage, in family life, in community life, in neighborhood relationships, business relationship and everything. And we know that if, in fact, you know, that we some type of agreement, we put it in writing. But I just think that in just everyday conversation, explicit speech can help to sustain and maintain good relations. Is it my true love recipe, Khalil Akbar? Would it be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be true love without explicit speech? Talk to us, Khalil Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, because communication is key. I believe that effective communication helps to bring about a clear understanding of whatever we're trying to do. And so that definitely would be in my true love recipe. In addition to that, being very detail-oriented and being able to have sensory vocabulary when you're speaking to a spouse especially, to communicate effectively and let them know exactly how you're feeling, as well as modeling that to them in your behavior and body language. So, yes, that would definitely be in my true love recipe. And we know that just means clear, right? Clear, exact, to the point. Can you hear me? Brother Marshall Heen?
Yes, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that your true love recipe, and we're going to do another little mini survey here. I'm going to ask our radio listening audience to be a participant. You don't have to say anything if you choose not to. But would explicit speech be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? If not, could it really truly be true love in that regard, as Allah has even given us the composition of the Quran when he speaks about in Surah Ali Imran, which is the third surah chapter of the Quran, and he has said that some of the verses, the ayats, they are explicit, they are clear, and they form the foundation. They're basic and fundamental, and there are some that are implicit, they're allegorical, and only Allah, and then at the end of that verse, and those men or minds of understanding will have those. So I'm going to ask you once again, in the mini survey, I'm going to ask you, would explicit speech be in your true love recipe? I'm going to ask you to press 1. And hold it for 10 seconds. Hold it for 10 seconds. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10 now. So, once again, the priest Abdul Hadi, did we get any persons that participated?
Well, not on the board, Brother Mark, but we do have one, of course. Would be my
own. Okay. So you can participate too, the priest of Hadi. We ain't gonna leave you out. would that be in your true love recipe? And so talk to us, the priest of Hadi. Would it be or not?
Absolutely, Brother Mark. Explicit speech. Like you say, clear, being clear and specific. But also when I you know, I'm always, you know, checking things out, it also says raw, R-A-W, being raw. And what I took for that was being genuine, truthful, honest. And when you begin to speak, while you're letting it be specific and clear, you know, and yeah, and so that's absolutely, it would have to be there, because if it's not there, then you don't really know what is really in the heart of that person. That person is being phony.
Yeah.
Are they really true?
Yeah.
you know. Mm-hmm. So, yes, absolutely. I'm not going to hold any longer. As you always say, I can say much more, but I'm going to stop right
and,
here.
But you know what you said, a mouthful of that, what you said, because you related it to the heart. And Khalil Akbar, in terms of saying being detailed, but you're relating it. And there's a saying, what comes from the heart should go to the heart if it's truly sincere. I mean, if it's truly sincere. You know, I used to have an uncle, old uncle, he used to say, you can make your mouth say anything, you know. But if it's sincere, it's sincerely coming from the heart. A lot of times it is heartfelt. That this person is really sincere, they're really being honest in that regard, with honesty and integrity, and they're being transparent. In transparency, you see more detail. It's more explicit. It's not vague. Right. There's not implication, insinuations. You got to try to figure it out.
Exactly.
Open-end sentences, so to speak, in communication, oftentimes, where you're left wondering. What did he mean by that? What did she mean by that? So a person that actually, in terms of looking at explicit speech, they want to be understood. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not trying to conceal anything. That goes back to the heart again. You know, remember what Allah says in regards to him. He's Al-Alim. He's an all-knowing. He knows the heart of the human being. He knows that which is revealed, but he knows that which is concealed. All the time, we might not be able to detect that. But one of the signs in the wisdom, this is noteworthy, that if you utilize that, and that's a part of your true love recipe, because you want that mate of yours to be the same. You want to hear explicit speech. And as you just so eloquently articulated, you know that this is sincere. This is coming straight from the heart. You know that person is not trying to be deceptive. They're not trying to deceive you. You can have the mutual respect that you actually need in that sacred institution. I can say a lot more, but I'll stop there. We on a roll here. So, Khalil Akbar, I already have said something about this next one, which is extraordinary, and we know that it has a Latin origin also, extraordinary. Is it my true love recipe, Khalil Akbar? And would it be in yours? And if so, why? And if not, could it really truly be true love? You know, there was nothing that was extraordinary that was there. Talk to us, Khalil Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, yes, extraordinary. Yes, something out of the ordinary, something unique, something that is just genuine, unfound in other places. That, yes, I love those things like that that are different, but not just different, but meaningfully different. And so, yes, that would definitely be a part of my true love recipe. I like the uniqueness. I like the outside of the ordinary, thinking outside the box, behaving in ways that are just exceptional, stand out, a head turner, you know, like, okay, that's our life. So, yes,
I like
exactly.
That. I like the way you use a head turner. okay, so alhamdulillah, it's a head turner. We might have to get her to expound up on that again another time. But alhamdulillah, no, I understood what it is that you're saying. But I just love the way you describe that being very unique but very beneficial, you know, because, you know, we don't ever want to transgress boundaries. But the fact of the matter that it is a positive, extraordinary, you know, that we actually are witnessing. I think that's what I heard in your communication. So, alhamdulillah. So, now I'm going to ask our radio listening audience, as you are, Khalil Akbar, and my guest tonight, what extraordinary? I think everybody can can identify with that, and it should resonate. Would that be in your true love recipe? If it would be, I'm just going to ask you, just participate, you all. You know, press 1 if it would be in your true love recipe. If you don't want to say anything, that's fine, too. But I just want to just kind of get a feel that it would be in your true love recipe, or it wouldn't be. You know, so just press 1. We're going to ask you to hold it for 10 seconds. And we're at 5. And we're at 10. So did we get any participation, Teresa Abdul-Hadi, this time?
Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, you know, I'm just going to say that I think everyone is really enjoying and in this learning mode. I
they
really
might
do.
Be in a learning mode. Okay. So I accept that. They're just absorbing this because I know this has to be something that's different. They probably didn't really expect us. They were like, what is he going to say with X here? But you can actually hear it. This is a Latin, you know, origin. So I'm going to ask you, as a priest of Hadi, I'm just going to draft you here, and then maybe you can speak for some of the people out there that don't want to have anything to say. But I know you're not shy of the mic. So would it be your true love recipe, extraordinary? Talk to us.
Absolutely, positively. Yes, sir, it would be. It would be because, you know, an extraordinary person, you know, that's one, and if they're remarkable, like you said earlier, and another term that you use a lot in your, and I'm going to adopt that, outstanding. You know,
yes.
An extraordinary person is outstanding, a well-balanced person. Just because they're smart, you know, they know how to put everything in perspective, you know. I love it. I'm just excited. Just listening and learning tonight as well. Yes, sir, Brother Mark. It would be.
No, I'm glad because when you use that word outstanding, you know, as a wordologist, I'm actually outstanding. I like to turn it around. Outstanding person, that's an extraordinary person, they are always standing out. Mm-hmm. Standing out. And so you go to the Quran for that. What is outstanding to Allah? Go to Surah 49 and Ayat 13. If you want to be outstanding and standing out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that the most honored in his eyesight is the one that's most consciously regardful of him. Ooh. You see, so if you want to, so when you're outstanding, you know, or, you know, when we look at what it is that we just describing here with X in terms of extraordinary, then we see what it is Allah has said that in his eyesight, the extraordinary one or the outstanding one or the one that's most honored is the one that is most consciously regardful of him. So now we have to relate how it is that we relate in terms of God's word, his will, and his way. And the fourth W is that if, in fact, we adhere to God's word and we strive to conform to God's will for us, and we strive to the best of our ability to live the way that God wants us to live, you know, mm-hmm. that includes the sacred institution, marriage and community, family and community life, then do the work that God wants, then we can have success in all of those institutions that Allah has established for us. And I could say more, but I'm going to stop there because we're on a roll here. We're doing really good. So, once again, now this one we're going to have a little fun with as we at number 3 here in terms of extraordinary. So now we have extra Khalil Akbar. It's in my true love recipe. I said, well, you know, in terms of extra. You remember how the old, if you didn't, we wasn't living at the time, they had people that was what they call paper boys, paper men selling papers. They used to, back in the day, would say, extra, read all about it. Read all about it. And, it was something that would bring attention once again. So I'm going to ask you the question, would extra be in your true love recipe, Khalil Akbar? And so why? And if not, could it truly be true love recipe without some extra that's happening there? And I'm going to ask you, since this is the last of the qualities, would it be a teaspoon for you, a tablespoon of extra, a half a cup of extra, or would it be a full cup of extra for Khalil Akbar? Talk to us, Khalil Akbar, about extra.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
I can't hear you. What happened?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, yes.
Oh, there we are. Okay.
Yes, extra would definitely be in the terms of anything good. But, you know, extra can also be over the top, too much. And when working with adolescents, that's one of the things that they say to someone who's always doing something just over the top or just obnoxious. So extra in that sense would be no. Sit down, have some regard for you and reservation, have some class about yourself. You know, you don't have to come in a room and just have to, you know, totally make a scene with everything you do, whether it's making a statement, walking to the pencil sharpener, doing it, you know.
So you're going at it from a teacher's perspective.
Yeah.
But
listen, I'm not finished because I want to also bring it the other balance in it. If it's a balanced situation, because extra typically we don't want a whole lot of extra and over, even in waste. But in love, in patience, in kindness, in money, hey, yeah, we can bank that and use it later. But things that are positive, yes. But negative things, no, because I'm a moderate person, I'm a reserved person, and I give myself an increment. And that's a good thing. Alhamdulillah, yeah.
I love it. I have fun with this here, but, you know, just hearing the expression, the insight, the wisdom that is showed, you know, by everyone. That's why I say it's not a right or wrong. It's just how you see it, and especially when we get to the last one. So you didn't tell us, Khalil Akbar, you gave us a lot of information. You gave us both sides, the flip side, my positive, negative, blah, 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 the balance there. You gave that to us. But would it be for you, Khalil Akbar, a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, full cup, extra? What would it be?
It would be a full cup because I go the extra mile, and my expectation, inshallah, would be for my spouse to also be able to go the extra mile, especially doing the good and the times that are challenging, yes.
Alhamdulillah. So that would be the expectation because you're willing to give a full cup of extra. So the expectation that you would want to have a man in your life that would be your husband that also a full cup of extra, right? Okay, so good. So we heard from Khalil Akbar. We're going to do the last mini survey here. Okay, come on, you all. I know you're absorbing all of this great insight and wisdom, and all. I'm going to ask you if extra would be in your true love recipe. You know what to do. Press 1 right now and hold it for 10 seconds. And we have 5 already. And we're at 10. So, the priest of Abdul Hadi, did anybody press 1 and say that would be in their true love recipe extra? They like that extra. Anybody?
Again, like I say, I think everybody's chilling and taking this in and enjoying it.
Well, they chilling. I know you're enjoying it too, but I got to ask you because I got to get something from somebody other than Khalil Akbar. She said with being her true love recipe, of course, this is my recipe, so you already know it's in mine. Would it be in the priest Abdul Hadi Extra? Would it be there? It is so why?
And then we want to know,
and the radio listeners want to know, how much would it be? Would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, or a full cup for Hadi?
You know what? I want to first say, though, Khalida Abba, I'm right on point with you with that, because you do have that, you have to have that balance in when you come to extra. And, of course, we always want all the things that you want to give that's good and everything. But then, too, you want to have a balance because sometimes it can get a little bit strange and you start to really kind of look at it. So you'd be like, oh, okay, let's have some balance here. So I'll go with that half a cup. It'll be pretty cool. I think we could work with that half a cup.
Oh, you work with a half a cup. Okay.
Just to keep it.
I love it. No, it's not like a right or wrong here. I mean, full cup for her. I think what Lila gave us a contingency, and what we have here, I want to just bring, this is noteworthy, that in a healthy, now listen to the words, so in a healthy, harmonious relationship, there's a law that actually happens or should develop. It is called the law of reciprocity. And so when we was at the letter R, reciprocity, and it's a word tologist, realize each conscious initiative perform. Return other conscious initiative to you. So, I'm going to say it again. It's a gold nugget. If you can use it, sisters, put it in your purse. Brothers, put it in your pocket. If you can't, throw it in the trash can. But reciprocity, it's a law of reciprocity. Some of us don't know that, maybe never use that. So therefore, we probably be like, whoa, I'm doing all these extra things, but I get nothing in return. That's the balance that Khalil Akbar was talking about in terms of what it would be in the man that she would be looking for in this sacred institution of marriage. You see? So whatever you have to be the person that you want to meet. So if you're looking for a person like that actually understands the law of reciprocity, realize each conscious initiative performed. Stop right there. As part of the acronym for reciprocity. The other part is return other conscious initiative to you. Okay? So what it is that is coming to me, I should want to return it to you. In other words, if love and kindness, you know that your wife put a little bit something more into this meal, because she knows that's your favorite. It takes a little bit longer to do. It was no special occasion. It wasn't your birthday. It wasn't your anniversary, or something. It wasn't Mother's Day. It was just an ordinary day.
Yeah.
But is she was doing something extra that made her very extraordinary that day. But then you also find something, you understand, where you're doing something extra that she didn't even anticipate, or you weren't doing it because that's what everybody else do.
Yeah.
You see, so that's the balance that's there. It's called a law of reciprocity. Where what it is that you give, it comes back to you. You have the old person said, what you send out comes back. So be careful what you send out. There's also a duality in regards to that too. But if you want good and you want abundance of good and you're always looking for barakat, blessings, you can have that in the spousal relationship. Do you know that charity, you know, let me give you a back rub. That's charity. You get blessed for doing that, to have that sensitivity. But then in terms of whereas that they see you in a situation of what, and you're willing to do the same thing. I'm just only just saying. So we're going to stop there. Anyway, we want to try to get here out of here on time tonight. But I've enjoyed it immensely. And I want to give both of you sisters an opportunity, as both of Sister Khalila Akbar and the priest Abdul Hadi, a very distinguished, outstanding talk show host themselves on our sister station, AM360. So, the priest Abdul Hadi, you come on Saturday. So, talk to our regular listeners and give them information how they can catch your production on Saturday. The priest.
Yes, sir. We come on, and thank you, Connie. And I've enjoyed, I always do enjoy the programs. I do. But, you know, tonight it seemed like we were just on this, like you said earlier, we was on this roll, you know, where, you know, and it was just excitement. And, alhamdulillah. Yes. Look, I'm going to start right there because I'm telling you, I'd be over here just, I mean, the spirit be there. So, alhamdulillah. Yes, on Saturday evenings, you can reach me at AM360 radio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 with Alice Mom and Focus Learning Lab. And we are discussing establishing our relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're doing it by learning Al Asma'ul Husna, which is the 99 known beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's going to get us in paradise. Let's don't start on nobody. Everybody want to go to prayer. I can't think of one person I'm going to talk to and they say they don't want to go to paradise, okay? So that's what we are aiming to do. And so please join us Saturday. And when you do, again, that's 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and press 1 and get involved. Thank you so kindly, Brother Mark.
Thank you so kindly, too. We really appreciate you. And now we're going to go to Khalila Akbar, another very distinguished, esteemed talk show host on our sister station, AM360, as she hosts the outstanding production in terms of narrative aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Talk to us about when that happens. I think it's on Wednesday, and with the time and everything, and how can they get in touch with that production that you have on AM360, American Muslim 360 Radio. Khalila Akbar.
Yes, it's Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m., inshallah, as we highlight the people in our community that use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. We've had a lot of different people on there, from business owners to people who are mentors to youth, to people who are imams, and to people who are Muslim women who have established their own organizations over the years. And then we also do a lot of content providing, as you are doing here, Brother Mark Shaheed, very excellently. Excellently here tonight on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We seek to make sure that we bring people on that are knowledgeable, scholarly, and also are well-versed in whatever profession that they are working in and have had positive results. So keep tuning in, and inshallah, we'll be able to hone in for the month of Ramadan on the pillars of Al-Islam and how we're going to amp those up and really get deeper into exhibiting those pillars and making them a part of our life during the month of Shaban and also going into the month of Ramadan. So that's our focus right now. So thank you. Assalamu
alaikum. So you want to give the radio listening audience that number again? And did you give the time? If so, give it again, if you would, please, as to what time you're on and the two numbers, if you would, to AM 360.
Yes, the time is 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number is 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Yes, and we look forward to some great, great guests. Inshallah, we'll have Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman and his wife, Sahara Mahdi, on. We weren't able to air them last night, but inshallah, they will be on either this coming week or we'll touch bases and give you that information out at a later date. But they are just an excellent couple. They are doing some wonderful things. And they recently visited our masjid. So I seek to invite people on that are implementing very good things in their lives and also building sustainable family and community life and sustaining marriages. That is a beautiful thing. So thank you.
And I want to just say for the record that Khalil Akbar has given me an invitation. I hope it's still open because I am going to be looking for a way that I'll be able to get away to actually, to address that invitation that she's given. And I want to also say that Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman and his wife, Sahara, excellent company, and they are doing, they're building an institute in which I do participate in, and I also endorse that and what it is that they're doing. Outstanding soulmates, they're actually teammates, they are helpmates, they are workmates, they are lovemates, and neither one tried to incarcerate and make each other an inmate. So if you have all of that, you're going to hear some of this next week. I'm going to keep you in suspense in terms of how we're going to be looking at Z when we get to Z. You know, Y is going to be very short, but Z is going, I think, going to open up, you know, a lot of things that it is that we've said years.
Yes, and Brother Mark Shahid of May. I just want to clarify that they were there, but we had a technical difficulty. So, and their time is very, well spent.
And going
back to our couple, so I didn't want to make it like they weren't. They were there. They showed up, but we had a technical difficulty. So, inshallah,
we'll be able to
bring the greatest to you, inshallah. Thank you.
And I found out late. I'm going to have to talk to you, but I'm saying I found out late that they asked Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman most recently was in the Queen City. Am I correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah,
My dad loves him. He's been here several times. He's like family.
I know.
And his whole family comes.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I found that out most recently, and I would just say the feeling is mutual. He actually said that there's certain imams that he would respond to, and your father, Imam Khalil Akbar, is one. So that's good, and that's good to have established good rapport and relationships, in the community with Imam Muhammad, but also other believers in this way of life, because we need persons like Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman and what it is that he brings. He was taught directly. We're not talking about secondhand. He was taught directly and correctly by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warfdeen Muhammad. And when I say, and when I can say endorse this institute that he has, which is Study Quran and Leadership Institute, is still in its infant stage, but it's so much information and education, and the methodology that is used in this is the methodology that Imam Muhammad used in teaching him and others. I could call some of the other person's name I want at this time that actually became like the final four. And Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman was one of those. And I'll say this before closing out, that Sheikh Imam Darnell Kareem, I was blessed to be present. And he shared with us in regards to Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. And it was a presentation that Imam Rahman, Abdul Rahman, was going to make. Imam Muhammad was present. He gave him the mic. And he came and he sat down by Imam Darnell Kareem. And those of you, if you ever been around the Imam would oftentimes just take a very relaxing posture. He just kind of slumped down his seat, kind of put his hands behind his head. Oftentimes he would do just in a relaxed state. And he leaned over to Imam Darnell Kareem. And know that they grew up together as childhood friends and everything. So it's not too many people that know Imam Muhammad better. You know, his friends, they went to his house and he went to his house and all of that. So he says, Darnell, he says, I can finally relax now. And what he said, what he was saying was connected to Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. He says, I can finally relax. He said, you see, that brother, he's got it. He's got it. In other words, he saw in Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. One of the things that Imam Muhammad, I'm just sharing this with you, this is a little extra here that you're getting. He said, I got to try to stay healthy. He says, because right now I don't have anybody in the community that, in terms of I'm seeing, that can give it like the way I want it to be given. But he said he saw that in Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. And I shared that with him in class. He had never heard it before. And Imam Darnell Kareem said, the next time I see him, I'm going to share that with him in that regard. So I just want to just say that goodness is on the rise. We heard Imam Muhammad say that. There's a lot of good things that's happening across this association. So that's why I don't want anybody preaching doom and gloom. You know, there's always messages in Islamic centers that knew and can do better. I always, my thinking is always and has been, I raise my children the same way. There's good, better, and best. Never give it a rest until your good becomes your better and your better becomes your best. That always is an incentive for us to always say, look, I know I did a good job, but now you have to ask yourself, can I do better? And it's Dapreesa Hadi, she has a theme that she uses this year for 2024. Can I do better? And then when you do better, now ask yourself, is this the best that I can do? Come an inward challenge in terms of yourself. And this is how we help each other in terms of becoming the best that we can be. Because remember, what Allah says, He created us in the best of mold. So if we do anything less than the best, we don't really pass the test. I'm hoping that y'all are grabbing these things. These are jewels that you're getting, you know, and you don't have to pay for it. It's just giving up a little time, investing some time in yourself. And when you do that, you're going to come out a better person. So before we close out, the priest of Abdul Hadi, what's the thing for 2024?
If you're having any stress or you're being stressed for any reason, let it go in 2024, utilizing the Quran. And as Brother Mark always says, we got to do more in 2024. Thank you so kind.
Alhamdulillah. So thank you so much. I want to thank the radio listening audience, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio. And a special thanks go to our engineers extraordinaire, Rashid Salam, the first hour, second hour, the priest Abdul Hadi. A special thanks go to you. And a special, special thanks go to our distinguished, esteemed co-host, Khalil Akbar, on a very, very good overview. And she will be giving an overview, capturing some of the things this evening that we actually talked about. A lot of, I think, great jewels that was given and all. And we're going to be looking forward to next week. And we want to just briefly say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Friday, so you know what that means. It's Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. It starts each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Salatu Juma, here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, the latest production is on the Muslim Book Reading Club. That's right, the Muslim Book Reading Club, outstanding publication, two-volume book on the Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community. That would be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of our Nation. This is a book, once you pick it up, you can't put it down. It happens each and every Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. There on that production, you'll get about 40 to 45 minutes of reading, and they will open up the mics for commentary, insights on that production. So please tune in for that. Sunday, Words Make People. Sounds familiar. It was the theme of last year's Time to Be Grateful there in the Meadowlands, New Jersey. And you can get it each and every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio with email Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. And it happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Monday, the beginning of the week, with my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. He wasn't on this Monday. We had technical difficulties. So, inshallah, make dua that he'll be on this coming Monday. And it's on ABC, like 1, 2, 3. But it's Al-Islam-based conversation. A variety of topics are talked about on Al-Islam-based conversation. And you know, conversation, you want to have as many as you possibly can that's tuned in and joining in. It begins at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed, he's my engineer on Wednesday and part time on Thursday, but he has his own outstanding production, and that's Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed. They look to do more in 2024. They have expanded that learning lab that they have that formerly was the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, but now it has been expanded to the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab. So, you know, you want to be healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and yes, financially, is Khalil Akbar was saying, in terms of extra, because you can always bank that. So when that rainy day come, or it's something that you really want to get, by you doing extra or saving extra and being healthy financially, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to go to the conferences and the conventions and the time to be grateful and all those things, and even make Hajj. You know, all of those things that you want to do, it requires money. So you want to be financially healthy. So that's a lot of great information. Bring your pen and pad. It happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen. However, she will be missing in action, and she will be spending Ramadan there in the city of the Prophet, and that is Medina, Managua. She'll be spending Ramadan there with her daughter and son-in-law. And she'll be gone for approximately 2 months and all, but don't fear, because Rashid Salam will be here with me on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic base. Yes, from an Islamic base. We got an outstanding publication, Hold On to Your Kids, Why Parents Should Matter More Than Peers. Why Parents Should Matter More Than Peers. This is an outstanding publication. We will be putting an Islamic context. It was not done by Muslims, but it's an outstanding resource book. And Rashid Salam and myself will be putting an Islamic context and foundation to it. So you want to tune in for that. That happens each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. You don't want to miss that. That's, I'm excited about it. And following that is the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's hosted and produced by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside our community. That's the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. But sometimes I have persons there that's not even in our community and may not be Muslim, you know, like the Honorable Judge Joe Brown, this had a syndicated television program years ago, people of that nature, and looking to do more in 2024 by having more topics that are relative and pertinent to us as a community. So that happens each and every Wednesday starting at 8 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Central, and it is 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. This has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. Those of you who let your subscription go to the Muslim Journal, please pick it back up. And those of you who have a one-year subscription, look to do more in 24. Just double it because the Muslim Journal actually needs the money and getting a good start in a new home, Newark, New Jersey. And I want to also say those who have a one-year subscription, think about doing it for a two-year. And think about family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members, a pioneer, or maybe a local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And now that they have asked me, the Muslim Journal have asked and appointed me to be the national spokesman for lifetime subscribers of the Muslim Journal, let's help to give the Muslim Journal a good home there in Newark, New Jersey. And if you're interested, we can show you how you can do that in installments and everything. And I know that they're planning something pretty big to recognize those persons that have made the commitment, a part of legacy, in becoming lifetime subscribers for the Muslim Journal that will be held, time to be grateful, in this year, inshallah, in Miami, Florida, for the 20th anniversary of the Muslim Journal, and it's and a time to be grateful this year. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you for your contributions and everything. And until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. As-salamu alaykum. Lady of Soul, Sawa Elamine, Assalamu Alaikum.